Do you realize the things that you do matter to God? Do you realize the things that you don't do matter to God? I think that would be one lesson that we could also draw from Haggai. It is such a struggle of mine sometimes to think about all. There are so many lessons and good thoughts that as you read through God's Word, the more that you read, every time I read through the book of Haggai, I almost have to just stop and trust the Lord with what He's already given me, because there's just more and more things. And something that this afternoon I was just reading through, and I was just I was praising the Lord and thanking the Lord that He takes notice. Whether you view it as a blessing or a curse at times, but He notices things all the time, doesn't He? And He takes notice of His people. He knows that they're discouraged and that they're having a hard time, but He also has noticed that there's a foundation that the weeds have grown up around it, and to a point that maybe you can't even see the foundation that they so celebrated about just 16 years ago. And the Lord takes notice, and it burdens His heart. And you know what? I think it's more personal than that with you and me. He takes notice of our hearts, and He knows where we are today, and He knows if we've been stagnant. He knows that if we've been astray. He knows that if we've been burdened down with many things. He takes notices of these things. And maybe He'll send someone. Maybe He would send you to be that Haggai in someone else's life. Be ready. Be ready if the Lord sends you. And go with love and compassion. And so here we're in the book of Haggai, and we'll read through. I honestly don't know how far we'll get in this first chapter here. We'll go until it's enough, I'll say that. So we'll go till it's enough, and we'll go through and we'll see mainly the misplaced priorities with the people of Israel. And we see this in a couple of questions, well, mainly just one in the beginning. And we can see a rebuttal. They kind of have their own ideas of what they think should be happening, and Haggai has to very lovingly and tenderly correct them. So if you're in the book of Haggai, let's read through at least the first 11 verses of Haggai, chapter 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood to build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, which every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above, you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine, and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands." So we see that he brings forth the word, and he's concerned. And this is the first thing that he points out. Once again, there's a revealing of the heart. And Haggai, I love how he does it. He does it in question form. And the people, they respond when Haggai comes to the scene, and maybe he begins to inquire about the rubble and the foundation. What's going on? And they would answer and say, you know what, it's just not time. We've considered it, and we think that it's not time for the house of the Lord to be built. So Haggai, he begins to look around from the foundations of the temple, and all of a sudden he sees a lot of beautiful homes around. And then his question is, well, is it time? for you to dwell in your paneled homes? And you know that had to cut to the heart. Because what he's saying is, well, why are your homes more important than the house of the Lord? Why are your homes more important? Now, I want to illustrate this maybe the best way I can. Maybe there's better ways. I don't know. But we'll try it. We'll give it a whirl. Nate, I just met Nate. He's a pole vaulter. And Nate, if you could come up here real quick, come up and visit with me. Listen, Nathan is he's not just a pole vaulter. This guy is world-renowned. He doesn't know it yet. And he's very famous, and he's made millions. Nate, you want me to build your house, don't you?
Yes.
And you want it to be real pretty and big, huh? Yeah, good. Well, luckily, I've got a good crew. These four men right here in this front row. Come on up. Yeah. Come on up. Now, you and I are going to have a little conversation. Here we go. You four guys. Now, I said I wanted a nice big house, but keep it simple. So you guys get to work here. We're going to talk about business here, because this is what I do in business. I point fingers. And so we want four walls. Four walls will be okay. You want, first of all, how much money do you have in your bank? I need a specific amount. How much in your savings account? Not how much you want to spend, but... You got $10 billion? We're going to use it all. $10 billion. Make sure there's a lot of good windows. He needs a lot of sunlight. And so he wants two doors. He wants a garage. Anything else specific that you need? Hey, listen, Nate, trust me. I'm a good contractor. You take vacation and you go have a seat. We'll get on to this real quick here. Don't worry about a thing. We'll get it going. Hey guys, actually, time out real quick. Nate's gone. This happens in the construction world. Things get a little busy. Let's stop this project for a little. Come over on the side here. Come over here. I'm gonna give you a few things here. Here, I actually need a home built. If you could, I got some wood there. If you could just use that. When you guys run out, just let me know if you need wood. I don't have a lot of money. Is it looking good?
Yeah.
You need some more?
No, that's fine.
You know what? This is not the home that I need something fancy. You know, Nate, he says he's got lots of money. Let's just go borrow. He's got all that wood. Let's go get some of his. Yeah, come on over here. Grab this. Make sure you get some of those trusses, too. Yeah, for the roof. And grab some of his wood. He won't even notice it.
It's not fitting in this
house. He won't even notice it gone. So just to wreck something real quick that I can live in. You've got billions of dollars. He's rich. Rich in mercy. He's on no expense spared. Go ahead and build that. Go ahead and get that built. Here, let me help you.
You can't use the big one, it's too big.
Let me help you. Here we go. Let's put a roof on this bad boy. Yep, there you go. Throw some
more roofs.
Okay, you guys get the idea. Have a seat. Actually, you're all fired. You're fired.
Ice cream time.
Now you guys will have to use your imagination. This is a beautiful paneled home, and the home of my dreams. And I'm very comfortable in this home. Thank you, men. And if you can notice, there's a foundation that was laid here. And poor Nate, when he gets around to it, I will be gone, and my workers will maybe take the heat for it, but they'll be gone as well. Now, this is all fun and games. Thank you, gentlemen, for helping me. But in a very serious way, Nate, how would you feel about that when you came back from vacation? 16-year vacation.
Where's my house?
Where's my house? And yet you commissioned, and I have a beautiful home. In fact, even more so yet, how more frustrating would it be that the lumber that you spent your hard-earned money on, that you provided, I just robbed you. And I decided, yeah, I'm going to take that into my home. In fact, that's exactly what happened. Israelites, yeah, they were discouraged and they were fearful. And you might call them even resourceful. Don't let the wood go to waste. Why let the panels, the beautiful cedar panels, go to waste? We might as well use them, because you know what? No one's going to really care if we build homes. But the house of the Lord, that was what they were in trouble for. That's what the counselors, those lawyers, were coming down on them and saying, you cannot build this. But they didn't say anything about being selfish and building their own homes. And yet, that's exactly what they were doing before the Lord. Did it bother him? Would it bother you? Yeah, it would bother me. And it bothered the Lord, and so he sends Haggai, and here we are. And when Haggai shows up on the scene, this is what he sees. He sees beautiful homes, and yet the house of the Lord. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Haggai himself, maybe his heart was broken. Maybe he shed a few tears, and he would come and begin to encourage them that now is the time. Now is the time. I don't know if you've ever had to take a time management class, but it's quite boring. In fact, I didn't like it all that much. It's a waste of time, exactly. But the man that was teaching this class, he had a book, Daytimer, and he got us all daytimers. And you were to write down everything that you did and everything that you wanted to do and needed to get done, and you would prioritize it. If it was needed to get done that day, you would write down who you needed to call or what you needed to accomplish, and you would put an A next to it with a star. This is priority. Has to get done. Nothing comes before this. And then you would write down a few other things, and if it was a little lesser priority, maybe you would put a B next to it. And if it was something you could push off to the next day, you would put a C next to it. Maybe this week I need to accomplish it. Well, this man was so wrapped up in, I'm not saying that it's a total waste of time, but every day he'd spend about 20 to 30 minutes going through this and checking off and making a new list. And every time someone called him, he'd open that book and he'd detail what they talked about, when they talked about it, and he took it very seriously. But he didn't want to waste his time. And I'll have to say that he was very efficient with his time. And to the point that sometimes it seemed that he was a bit rude at times, but he just knew what he had time for in the day. And if he didn't have time for you, he didn't have time for you. He had something that was priority more, was more important than you. And nonetheless, something that he taught us was that maybe a time in the day or your life is a bucket, and maybe you've seen the illustration where you would take rocks and you'd put it in there, and he says, is the bucket full? And I'd say, well, yeah, it kind of looks, you know, there's rocks in there, it seems full. And he said, no, so he'll put some pea gravel in there and it fills in a little bit of the, is it full now? Yeah, it seems to be. No, it's not. So he puts some sand in there and fills it up even more. Is it full now? Yeah, I think it's full. Nope. And he takes water, fills it up. So he's just talking about how we think we have so much. You got a lot more time than you know of. And some things are small in life, and there's bigger things in life. And then he would say, now take out one of those big rocks, Philemon. And I'd dig in there and take out a big rock. And then he'd say, now put it back in the bucket. Well, you can't do it. There's not enough room, because everything kind of silts back in. And the point of it is that you need to prioritize your life. You need to make sure that those big rocks, those really important things, are in before you start filling your life with nonsensical things. And I think prioritizing our life, and as Haggai would tell them, you need to consider your ways. Don't just go through life without thinking about really what's going on. And sometimes it's easier just to do that, just to go through life and not think. But God wants us to think. He wants us to consider our ways, and he wants us to prioritize our life. In fact, he wants us to prioritize him as number one. Don't you think he deserves that? I think so. Do I always prioritize him as number one? No, I don't. I don't always do that. I was thinking about you young men, and Valentine's was not too long ago. And I'm just thinking about ridiculous things. You would never do this in a million years. And Nate, listen, if I built you, I wouldn't do this to you, just so you know. And I wouldn't spend all your $10 billion. But close. But when you think about how ridiculous some of these things are, sometimes it just hits home. And I was thinking about these young men. And raise your hand if you're dating. No, I'm just joking. You don't have to raise your hand if you're dating. Now, you got this special someone in your life. And ladies, take note. Valentine's comes. Are you guys listening? You're going to want to listen to this. You got a really pretty girl. And you want to impress her. Okay? And you take her out on Valentine's night to the best restaurant. I mean, she's worth it. Okay? What's a good restaurant around these parts? No idea?
Olive Garden.
Olive Garden? Okay.
Granite City.
Granite City? Yeah, you would say. Okay. Anyway, the best, no expense spared. No expense spared. And you sit down and you begin to go through the menu, but you know what's really romantic is when you share food. You know, and you really want to, you want to show her what's good, and oh yeah, I've been here plenty of times. I'll tell you what's good. I'll order for you, you know, really impress her. And maybe it's somewhere French, Italian food, and you can order in French. That'd really be nice. And so I'm just looking over here, all the young men are over here, so I'm kind of looking over here. Anyway, so you order food because you're going to share it. And so there you're sipping on water, right? Because you're underage. You're sipping on water. Enjoying the water with one another and just visiting with one another, and all of a sudden this big old plate comes out. You know, you're sharing, and then you said, "Okay, listen up, babe. I'm gonna go ahead and start eating, and you just hold on. When I get full and finish what I want to eat, you can have the leftovers." And then you can enjoy what I don't eat. So there you begin to eat. And next thing you know, you didn't realize how hungry you were. The plate is gone. And there is nothing left for her. Well, that's kind of embarrassing. Now, you would never do that. No, not in a million years. Gary, would you do that to your wife?
Never.
Gary would never do that. Yeah, he'd leave the broccoli. But isn't that sad that in our relationship with the Lord, when it comes to time, do we not do that? Do I not do that with Him? Where I fill my whole day up, my week up, with things that I think are so important, to where at the end of the week, maybe I'll give Him some leftovers. Whatever I didn't consume, whatever time that I have left. But I tell you what, by the end of the day, I'm pretty wiped. Maybe I'll catch up tomorrow, God. Maybe I'll spend a little bit of time with you tomorrow. Right now, I got to get some Z's. I got to go sleep. Has that ever happened to you? Where you get through the day and you just had no time? What does that tell you? Consider your ways. Well, it tells me, when I stop and think about it, that my relationship with the Lord, it really is not a priority. And He takes notice. And it matters to Him. In fact, He tells us so much that that He doesn't take pleasure in it. In verse 8, I'm sorry. He wants to take pleasure in our lives. He wants to be glorified in our lives, but in this way that we're living, he can't. He's not glorified in that. He does not take pleasure in that. Time. How are you managing your time? Do you give Him time that He's worthy of? Do you glorify Him with your time? Do you honor Him with your time? Or are you giving Him the leftovers? Well, in a sense, and in a physical way here. We see that that's what they've done with for 16 years by leaving the building as just a foundation. And they robbed, in a sense, they robbed God. They've robbed him. And I know that maybe that's an extreme word to think of, but when I think about my life, I think I'm robbing God because he's worthy of it, and it's his. It's his time. Why? Because he's redeemed me. I'm his. What's Galatians 2:20 say? I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Does my life reflect that? Does my time reflect that? Does my relationship with the Lord reflect that? And sadly, no, it doesn't. Not all the time. Well, what do you do? Well, you consider your ways. And he'll say this over and over again, Haggai, consider your ways. And once again, it's a thought that you guys need to figure this out. You know what's between you and God. It's not for me to say, but you need to get with God. In another way, he's saying you need to take inventory in your heart. You need to reprioritize your life. And the things that you're filling your life up with, God's not pleased with it. And now is the time to start building the temple again. Now is the time for the Lord to dwell with you. Are you concerned at all about this? Something else that I think about when it comes to time is that we are very, very good with, as believers, sometimes as spiritualizing maybe why we're not doing something that we ought to be doing. And do you catch the tone of the way that they respond? It's a very intellectual response when Haggai would come on the scene and they would say, you know what, we've given it a lot of thought, and maybe they would even say, you know, we've prayed about this a lot. We just don't feel as though it's time to build the temple right now. You know, what's interesting is that I don't give it much thought, and I don't pray about whether or not I should watch the Super Bowl. Never crossed my mind. But when it comes to maybe evangelism, maybe God does something in my heart that says, I want you to go talk to that person. I want you to tell them about the Lord Jesus. You know what? I get real spiritual real quick. You know what? I ought to pray about that. Pray if I should do that or not. When it comes to normal things, I just do it. I don't pray about going to work in the morning. I get up and I go to work in the morning. Well, I had to pray about going to chapel. Wednesday night prayer meeting. You know what? Maybe I ought to pray about whether or not I should go. We begin to spiritualize things really quickly, don't we? When it comes to, you know, I don't care much about the Super Bowl anyway. It's all about Taylor Swift this and Taylor Swift that. Well, actually, in fact, well, I better come clean. You might as well know this anyway. This is something. Listen, I'm trying to use something for the glory of God that is not. But you need to see this. This is what my notes are written in. If you can't tell, this is a Taylor Swift notebook. Wow. Given to me by one of my lovely sisters, because they know how much I love Taylor Swift, and they even put some custom words on it. If you can see, you know, they, like, she's talking to me here or something. And oh, Phi, I am enchanted to meet you. Your eyes are like a jungle. You smile. It's like the radio. We are never ever getting back together. You're just another picture to burn, 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 baby, burn. I hope your life leads you back to my door. Oh, but if it don't, stay beautiful. So, some of you know the lyrics to these things. I know you all know. So I wanted to come clean with that. But we're putting that to good use today, okay? Okay. Time. Don't over-spiritualize it. Don't excuse it away if God wants you to do something. You know what? When it comes to being a servant of the Lord, when I think of being a servant of someone, there was no questioning your master, was there? If your master asked you to do something and you were his servant, you just did it. And if he wanted you to do it now, you just did it. You didn't argue. You didn't try to talk him out of it. You didn't give it much thought. You realized that you were his. Do you realize you're his? You realize you've been bought with a price. And it's not that this was something that was going to harm them and be bad for them. You have to understand that building this house of the Lord was for their benefit as well. Where else would you rather be? Where else would you rather go? Did it work out for them? How were they doing? Well, I mean, they had paneled homes. And their homes were featured in Farm and Garden or whatever magazine. And people would maybe talk about their houses. And maybe they didn't have the persecution anymore. But really, inside, how were they doing? Well, read on. We see that there are consequences. He says to them, "You have sown much and bring in little," in verse 6. "You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages and puts it in a bag with holes." Sounds like they were unsatisfied to me. And if you flee from the Lord and exchange the things of this world for the things that God would have you to do, this is where it will lead you. Listen, this world has many, many things that are similar, I will say, to the blessings of God. And we can manufacture, or at least we try, to manufacture blessings in our life when we're not getting it from the Lord. And that's what they were doing. The Lord was not blessing them. They brought it onto themselves. They knew that they were to be building a house, and yet they fell away. And they were disobedient to the Lord and His word. And because of a lack of blessing, then they began to try to generate, well, this will make me happy. And this will make me happy. And yet at the end of the day, it was nothing. They were unsatisfied. And I love the description in that verse 6 about being unsatisfied. I think about the world today, and there's so many parallelisms in that verse that just drive me to the things of the world that I see many of my friends, even believing friends, trying to bring and produce blessings in their life, whether it's through alcohol, whether it's through parties, whether it's through a better job. And listen, a paneled home, a good job, all those things within themselves are not bad. I'm not saying that. I know very many, many people that are blessed by the Lord, but they are using it for His glory. That's what it comes down to, is your home glorifying God? In a more personal sense, is your life glorifying God? Is the dwelling place of the Lord as a believer, is it bringing glory to God? Or are you finding yourself empty? And the more that you try to generate things, just the more empty you are. The world can offer you joy, but not the joy that the Lord offers. The world can offer you peace and rest. You can purchase some of these things. You can buy a better bed. Maybe that'll get you a little bit more rest. But it's not the hope that we have in our Lord Jesus. They're substitutes. And maybe for a time, for 16 years, maybe for a time it was good enough, but now they can see it. It's not lasting. And Haggai comes in and he begins to show them that they need to wake up and they need to consider their ways. You wonder why you're unsatisfied. You wonder why you're not happy and you feel empty. Verses 7 through 11, they're empty. He says, "Go up the mountain and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins." How does your life look? Man, I pray it's not in ruins. But if it is, hold on. your life isn't over and it's not useless and God's not done with you. But in a real sense, it was a condition of their hearts, wasn't it? The picture of God's house was a picture of their hearts before the Lord. Therefore, the heavens above withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. Now, you might think that this is drastic. The Lord is really, he's punishing them, isn't he? And I'm telling you, sometimes the Lord does some things that to get our attention. It's the chastening of the Lord. He does it to those he loves. I think it says that somewhere. He chastens those he loves. You know, I was playing basketball in high school, and my coach was hard on me. And I got upset in one game because it seemed as though my teammates could miss shots, cause turnovers, make stupid fouls, and seemingly there was no reaction from the coach. But to me, you know, it was probably just me because I'm just overthinking things. Every time I'd make one little mistake, you know what he would do? He would yank me out of the game and he'd chew me out. And I remember talking to him at practice one day. Why do you let me figure it out? Let me play through it. I'm so scared of making a mistake because you yanked me out of the game. And he began to tell me that I expect more things out of you, Philemon. And if I wasn't paying attention, and if I wasn't getting on to you, I'd be more worried about it. And in a very weird coach way, he's telling me, I love you, and I want more out of you, Philemon, because I think you're better than what you're playing, and you need to know that. And sometimes the chastening of the Lord can feel that way. Have you ever felt the chastening of the Lord? Have you listened to him? Are you taking note? Are you responding to him? Are you responding? Well, I have some good news. We'll kind of end on this. We didn't read, but down in verse 12 here, it says that with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. They obeyed. And maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow too, but obedience. And I want to say I love the fact that Haggai, he gives dates so that we know this is a pretty quick turnaround. Oftentimes, like I said, they didn't have this response. Oftentimes the Jews, they would want to kill the prophet. Let's kill him. They would reject it altogether. And oftentimes that's why you see the prophets, they were sad at times or running for their lives at times. And yet around two weeks, they responded to Haggai's message. He was effective. So good job. Good job, Israel. 2 weeks, they considered their ways. They took inventory on their heart, and they began to look around, and they began to obey. Now, this is really something that you're going to have to step out in faith. Because conditionally, and in their hearts, and in their relationship with the Lord right now, after reading verses 6 down through 11, reading all of those, the consequences that they're unsatisfied and frankly they're empty, what are they going to draw from? How are they going to, there's no blessing up until this point, and they're saying, Haggai's saying, you need to get back to building. And if you're like me, sometimes you want to test the Lord in this time in your life. Sometimes the Lord brings you down to a place to where you're absolutely empty, and then he asks great things of you again. Listen, they're worse off now than when the project began. And it's going to take every little bit of faith. That's what you need. Because all they have is God's word. Do you think that those people that were hounding on them, do you think that they just went away and they wouldn't take notice if they started to weed eat around that foundation and pull the weeds and started coming up with some stones and going up in the mountains and hauling down timber again? Yeah, they're going to take notice. That did not go away. But they're empty. Where are they going to get the strength to start this project up again? Where are they going to find the strength? Where are they going to get the hope? Sometimes we demand blessing before obedience. Have you ever done that? Maybe that they would, I don't see that here, but in my life, there are times where I would say, Lord, if you want me to do this, how about you do this first? Maybe the Lord would say, Philemon, I want you to give money to this certain person. And I say, show me the cash first, and then I'll give it to him. Do we have that attitude? If only I had this, then I could do this for the Lord. Are you an if-only person? Because I am sometimes. If only I had a beautiful home, then I could practice hospitality and I could invite people over. If only I had a brand new Bible, then I could read it every morning. If only I had a study in my house, then I could dedicate more time to studying God's Word. Are you an if only person? If only God would bless me, then I would live my life for Him. Is that a promise that God gives here when He asks them to go back to rebuilding? In fact, I don't see any of that. Haggai comes in and he says, get back to work. You're going to have to trust the Lord. These adversaries, your enemies, you're going to have to trust the Lord with them. You should have been trusting the Lord all along, but even more so now. With the timbers, and I understand you used the paneling up, you're going to just have to, well, Lord, we would, but we kind of used all the lumber. Well, you're going to have to trust the Lord that He's going to provide more. He provides for our need. If He asks you to do something, if He asks you to go somewhere, you're going to have to walk by faith. That's a believer's life, isn't it? To walk by faith. Don't miss out on that. That's a big thing for them to go from Haggai simply saying, is it time for you to dwell in your panel homes? And he explains to them a little bit about their life, and they're sitting looking at Haggai. How do you know? How do you know? Well, God knows their heart. And Haggai is a prophet of the Lord, and God is speaking through Haggai. And as soon as they heard this from Haggai, they said, yeah, we get it. That's all it was. It wasn't promises of blessing. It wasn't any promises that they were going to be able to have bigger, better homes or grander life, or everything was going to go their way. In fact, he doesn't even say that all of these things are going to be taken away from them. And yet they say, okay. And I just have to applaud them for that and say, good job. And I want to encourage you to do the same. If God is asking you to do something, would you, just as you put your trust in Him for salvation, would you trust Him in whatever ministry He's called you to? Big or small, it doesn't matter. What are you waiting for? Are you sitting there saying, now's not the time? Well, maybe it is the time. And maybe like Haggai, maybe I should just say, just consider your ways. Consider what the Lord would have you be doing in your life. I think it's time to get back to work. I think it's time to be about our Father's business. Trust Him. You can trust Him. We'll pick up obedience a little bit more in the condition of that, and maybe the attitude, our attitude toward obedience to that. And we'll finish out chapter 2, and then we'll move on to something else. Haggai has to clear the way once again, maybe a blockade for them and some problems, why they're not building this temple. But for now, let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You once again just for Your word. Thank You so much that You're trustworthy. So trustworthy. You're a good Father. Thank You for the blessings that You do give us. Lord, thank You for those wake-up calls that You also give us as well. Thank You for those hard lessons that we have to learn. I just pray that we'd be quick to obey. Lord, I pray that in our lives, that would please You. In our lives would bring You glory. Lord, I pray that if there's anything in our lives that need to be rearranged, Lord, I pray that we would think seriously about this. It might be painful, Lord. Oftentimes it is. Lord, but you're worthy of it. Lord, we know that you're soon coming again, and we know that there's only one life to live. Lord, I just pray that we would be reminded once again whose we are. Lord, help us not to just be if-only peoples, but to help us to be ones that are obedient servants to you, to hear those words one day, well done, good and faithful servant. We just commit this time to you once again in fellowship and the remainder of the evening. Thank you for the food that we're about to partake of and the many hands that have gone into preparing it. And we think of bowling tonight as well, Lord, that we would just honor you with our lives and our thoughts and our words. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Man, who left all these toys out here? All right.